And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I am the White Ranger, Michael, being joined by Blue Ranger, Brian.
Hey, everybody, what's going on?
Black Ranger, Ben.
It's me, your boy, Ben Taylor, who probably shouldn't be here because he's got hairline fractures in his feet and he's hopped up on painkillers. Woohoo!
And the Red Ranger, Sasha.
The overworked, underpaid, and extremely exhausted girl over from Nerdy Notions.
We're a happy bunch here, aren't we?
I mean, this season has done us in.
We're almost done. We're almost done.
We're on the climax towards season two of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And it feels good. But then you realize we have to watch the movie.
Sasha goes to sob in a corner.
And I think at least two of us are going to do it, are going to watch it in the original standard version and in the HD remaster version.
And some of us are going to watch it online like normal people who aren't that fancy and don't care.
I still have it on VHS.
Whoop-dee freaking do for you.
I know.
But anyways. VHS.
Anyways, today we're doing Return of the Green Ranger parts 1 through 3, which Ben,
aka God damn it, now there's two of them.
And it is too many.
So with that, we're just gonna hop right in to everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind. The quick run through of all three parts of Return of the Green Ranger, which we begin back at Angel Grove High School. Everyone gets a 3-day weekend. Yes, Sasha, it's a 3-parter. Sasha just threw three.
Just miming. Filled with 3 parts? Yeah, this was a 3-part story.
And you know what? It's a 3-part story, and it all begins with the students at Angel Grove High getting a 3-day weekend. Sasha's
Nobody
just...
comes in threes.
Exactly. Zed and Goldar are discussing how to appease Rita, but however, the Rangers are discussing what period of time they'd like to go back to. Rita talking to someone, but we don't know who, and they want to destroy the White Ranger, and a new monster appears, which is the Wizard of Deception. The Wizard of Deception hypnotizes Bulk and Skull to great hilarity, and they go to get some of Tommy's hair, which they don't actually get Tommy's hair. Kim and Tommy are out for a walk. Bulk and Skull fail at getting Tommy's hair, and then Tommy runs into the wizard himself. The others are contacted and they come to the aid of Tommy, but first the putties come out and the putties get some of Tommy's hair. The wizard creates a clone of Tommy and the evil Green Ranger with Tommy's hair. So that's there's your double trouble, and Ben is crying on the inside because of it. The Rangers discuss the wizard, and then evil Tommy tells the Rangers to meet him on the outskirts of town, and the trap has been set. The Wizard of Deception sends the Rangers back in time, the good old 1700s and witches. A random woman helps them as they were being chased, and then real Tommy runs into evil Tommy, which leads us into part 2, which starts back in the 1700s. The Rangers are still in hiding, and the Redcoats are clueless. The Rangers are introduced to Marissa, who they have to explain the future to. And then back in present day, the Tommies face off and Zed is pleased. And Goldar is annoyed by Rita, as he has been this entire time since the wedding. Bulk and Skull are still napping. And when they wake up, Bulk is wondering where the wizard is. At the Command Center, Zordon Alpha are now aware of the Wizard of Deception's plan. And we get a Green Ranger versus White Ranger battle. And they do at least what, like, Brian, help me out here. They do like what, 20 to 30 spin kicks here? I'm going to take that silence as a yes from Brian out of amusement. So back in time, the Redcoats find the Rangers, and one looks like Skull. The Green and White Ranger battle continues. The Wizard of Deception interjects, and Tommy demorphs. The Green Ranger is given his marching orders, and he arrives at the Command Center and threatens Zordon. Zed wants kids, and Rita freaks out. The chase begins again for the Rangers as they run from the Redcoats. Marissa's Uncle Ben is Bulk. The Green Ranger gives Zordon a clue to as to where the Rangers are. Green Ranger leaves, and Wizard Deception planned to give the Rangers and Angel Grove trouble. The Wizard of Deception goes back in time and creates three rat monsters. The Rangers realize they don't have their powers, and the Green Ranger calls upon the Dragonzord to wreak havoc in present-day Angel Grove. Which then brings us to our final part, where we see the White Ranger Tommy recovering while Rita and Zed continue to celebrate, and Goldar creating tension. Green Ranger summoning the Dragonzord, and destruction ensues, and then back in time, the Redcoats are introduced to the rat monsters, and they run away. Even though they're eating cheese and they could easily have thrown the cheese at the rats. Tommy isn't feeling well, and Bulk and Scar being no help, Zordon contacts Tommy about Green Ranger and the Dragonzord. Zordon is worried about Tommy, and for good reason. The Wizard of Deception energizes the Dragonzord with evil, and then Tommy morphs into action and takes on some putties. Tigerzord time, a very interesting Dragonzord-White Tigerzord battle. And then the White Ranger is weak and confronted by the Green Ranger and the Wizard of Deception. And then Zordon informs the White Ranger that he needs the Wizard of Deception's wand to save the others. White Ranger gets the wand and transports to the 1700s. The Rangers return to their time to and morph into action, to which then the Thunder Megazord comes into play. The White Ranger dispatches the Wizard of Deception with the wand, and the others continue to fight the Dragonzord and the Thunder Megazord. The Green Ranger breaks the Wizard of Deception's spell and returns the Dragonzord to the sea. Then we go back to the 1700s, where the White and Green Ranger return to take on the rat monsters. The Green Ranger stays in the 1700s while the White Ranger returns to present day. And then we end it with Adam being sad about Marissa, but sees her present day version and is happy. And that is all of Return of the Green Ranger. So that is the quick run through of Power Ranger, or the Return of the Green Ranger, parts 1 through 3, which now brings us to the next section of our podcast, the questions, where all four of us get to talk about certain topics throughout the episodes. And we're going to start off right now with the Wizard of Deception. So Rita summons the Wizard of Deception to send the Rangers back in time, which he does with the exception of Tommy, and then creates a clone of Tommy, but with the Green Ranger powers. However, while things are going well, the Wizard of Deception is defeated rather too easily, as all they had to do was take his staff away to travel back in time to get the Rangers back and break the spell on the evil Tommy clone. Overall, what were your thoughts on the Wizard of Deception? Sasha, we'll start with you.
Cool. Okay, I'm sorry, but like, did this villain come out of a Halloween store? Like, he's not, like, he's got this cool, weird voice thing going on, so I'll give him credit for that, and really not much else. And I think Ben's going to touch on the question of what he is the wizard of, actually, because I mean, it just looks like he took a Scream costume and, like, substituted the mask.
I don't even think Scream was out yet, by the way.
So. That's my only frame of reference, and with like hair in the back or something, like.
Yeah. Green screen eyes and a mouth.
Like it was kind of a weird costume. It was like sort of half-assed, but half-assed in a weird way because they took the time to add the CGI.
Scream did not come out until 1996.
Whatever. Yep. Okay, fine. Scream was inspired by this costume. You happy now, you nitpickers?
You watch any scary Power Rangers episodes?
What's a scary Power Ranger episode? Oh, wait, we haven't gotten to that season yet. Mega
Force. So, Ben, what are your thoughts on the Wizard of Deception?
Like, he's not, though, is he? Because he's called the Wizard of Deception, but then he casts a spell, and that spell becomes reality. That's not deception. That's reality.
I think the most deception that was actually done was when the clone Tommy was made and used to trap the other Rangers.
That wasn't even the wizard doing that. That was just...
Exactly.
I know, but like that was the closest that the Wizard of Deception did to actually setting out his plan. you know.
Right, that's kind of my point, is like, he's not a wizard of deception. He's a wizard of screwing with reality. Like, deception is lying. These aren't lies, they're truth. This
at that point, is he just a wizard at that point?
Yeah, he's just a wizard.
He's just a wizard.
And he arrives precisely when he means to.
Yes. He is the wizard of trouble and chaos.
He's the wizard of inconvenience.
Yeah. He's the wizard of spirit Halloween.
He's the wizard of spirit Halloween and time.
But I mean, you have to, I mean, at least give him credit. He was able to at least set out a plot to A, get rid of the Rangers. We'll get to that part in a little bit about where he sent the Rangers. I mean, he kind of worked for what they needed, name being deceptive itself. But it worked. I just think that the way they dispatched him near the end of the third episode was just a little too easy. Like, it wasn't much of a fight.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
It's like, here, just give me the staff. All right, cool. All right, you're done. Game over.
Pretty much.
Ben has a thought.
I disagree.
Without the stick.
The wizard isn't the point of the episode.
That's
the two Tommies are the point of the episode.
Yeah.
Right. And Lord knows this episode was already far too smacking long. What we didn't need was more stuff.
Thank you for trying to keep this PG, Ben.
Yes. It's really hard.
You've earned a cookie for suppressing the F word.
The point being, as a figure, the wizards wasn't the point of the episode. It was Tommy v. Tommy, right? So, yeah, sure, they dispatched the wizard pretty easily. And I have a problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that, like, the evil Tommy and the wizard just sat there listening to Zordon's plan as, like, Tommy was listening to it and just did it, and they didn't try and stop him, right?
Yeah.
That I've got a problem with. But the fact that the wizard was beaten easily doesn't bother me because he wasn't the point of the episode.
Right.
He was just a narrative convenience for there to be two Tommies.
It's a little annoying, just to jump in real fast. It is a little annoying to hear a solution to the problem and then, oh, okay, cool. And then, like, literally the next, like, frame, they're doing that. It's like, Zordon's like, hey, take the staff and break it. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. And he takes, and I'm like, there should have been more of a struggle there, but that's just how I would have paced it out personally.
Well, that's like one of the glaring problems. Well, one of the glaring problems in this three-parter is the fact that, like, I agree with Ben that, like, the wizard is not the focus. It's the narrative is the whole two Tommy shtick, but, like, you have three parts. You have an hour amount of episode of, like, basically an hour of, like, Power Ranger shenanigans, and really not that much happens if you think about it. And what does happen is relatively anticlimactic.
I think what I was trying to point out was not the fact that there should have been more to Dumb the Wizard, but there should have been less episode.
I mean, if you're gonna have, like, we've talked about the fact that, like, we can't change the writing, but, you know, if we're gonna deal with the two Tommies and this whole shtick, then, like, this is gonna be a three-parter, right, and I have to suffer through it, I'd like to at least, you know, suffer slightly less.
Right, but I don't think making the fight with the wizard is the way to do that. I think the way to do that is to improve the plot in the past.
Which is a great segue, because we get the Rangers back in colonial times?
Nope.
Before we go on,
Sash is a bit of a historian, right? And usually in these episodes, you'll hear me ranting and talking about, quote unquote, that's not how science works. Dear audience, please prepare yourself for That's Not How History Works with your host, Sasha Kaplan.
But, wow, thank you for that beautiful introduction, Ben.
Now, for the record, I did my thing in air quotes. For the record.
The floodgates have been opened. I got an intro. You just have to sit there now.
Let me just get the question out to you, then you can just do your rant. The Rangers are sent back, to the 18th century, and there they deal with the conditions of those times, including giant rats. What did you think of the story that was used for the other Rangers while they're back in 1700s Angel Grove, which technically also would not exist?
And now we sit back and let Sasha.
All right, Sasha. It's all yours, girl.
First of all, if this is the 1700s, there wouldn't be any if this is what did this say? Is it supposed to be the 1600s or the 1700s? It's the
1700s.
This is 1700s, which is supposed to be Angel Grove, California.
Right. So that's step number one. You're basically turning this into the Roanoke colony, or, you know, it's not even like Boston or anything, right? The Redcoat presence makes very little sense because I think this is supposed to be more akin to like Salem, Massachusetts than anything else. The outfits were just gotten at a generic Halloween store type two. Like, these are not creatively woven costumes. And let's not even factor in this little, you know, tiny problem that Brian sort of touched upon. Angel Grove is in California. California was not even there were no colonies in California in the 17th century. I'm not even a historian of this period. I'm a comic book historian. Come on.
Well, California was not part of the 13 colonies.
Wikipedia article. I probably have more rants, but I think you get the picture.
Are you telling me that they didn't do a Wikipedia article in 1993?
Okay, fine. Encyclopedia Britannica. Track a history book in the library for two pages.
Let's be honest. What they did was they went to the nearest, historical reenactment village.
Yep.
And they said, we're going to give you $1,000 if we can film a fight scene, a chase scene, because that's all it was. It was a glorified chase scene through your streets.
Yep.
What you got, Brian?
So this was filmed in Sydney. This was filmed at one of the historic outposts there, and it used to be like a historical whatever. And so you've got redcoats chasing Americans in Australia and trying to pass Australia off as a American colony that's on the wrong side of the nation. It's hilarious.
It's like they went over budget and didn't have, they're like, oh, we need a set that looks like it's the past. Will kids know the difference? Probably not. No, we're just going to go with it.
Yeah.
Yep. I think sticking with the 1700s, we got to talk about Bulk and Skull. Well, maybe not Bulk and Skull, but Jason Narvey and Paul Schreier. Ben, I'm going to start with you because I know you're the big Bulk and Skull appreciator of the group. How awesome were they in this these episodes?
I know that you're going to expect me to say very, but they were about normal. Just to say that they're probably the best thing about the first five seasons of the show.
Yeah,
and I know that I didn't mean to. I don't mean to shoot you down there, but they're the only good actors on the show.
I mean, especially Jason when he was playing the Redcoat. I loved him playing the Redcoat. Like, you could tell that he was just hamming it up so much.
This episode hurt in many ways, especially the accents. Especially the accents.
Yeah.
That's kind of all I've got. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Sasha, Brian, right. What are your thoughts on Jason and Paul in these episodes?
You know, Jason was fine. I thought that he was an okay red coat, even though I'll agree with Ben, the accent is whatever. I'm not a historian, but you know, that's not the accent that the British were using probably back then. But I will absolutely give it up to Paul. I loved his outfit and just I just loved his character in the 1700s. And he absolutely rocked that Ben Franklin look to me. Like, absolutely.
I have to agree with that. I enjoyed the Ben Franklin, totally not Ben Franklin. Like, at the time, if they were to, like, make a film about Ben Franklin, like, he should have played Ben Franklin.
Yeah, like, young Ben Franklin, like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I think that he could pull off those glasses, like, unironically, like, nowadays.
Yes.
So, let's rip the Band-Aid off now. I know, two Tommies, how horrible. Brian, I'm going to start with you on this one. What were your thoughts on seeing the White Ranger take on the Green Ranger?
So my thoughts on that were, as a kid, loved it. It was the coolest thing since sliced bread. It was like, I don't know. It was like the Beatles meet the Rolling Stones. I was like, oh, dude, this is awesome. We get the Green Ranger and the White Ranger in an episode, and they fight. Like, who wouldn't love that? As an adult, it's a little less awesome, but I do still love the fight, and I do still love seeing the Tiger Zord fight the Dragon Zord. So it's not like I hate it nowadays as an adult. Like, I'm not that jaded as a person, but I still, you know, it's not the coolest thing about Power Rangers, but it's still really cool to me.
When I saw them do like the 20 to 30 spin kicks, I was like, how many spin kicks do you need to do in a fight? So, Ben, Sasha, any thoughts on the Green Ranger versus White Rangers saga that we had? Sasha's asleep.
I was honestly, this was kind of, it was boring. Like, the idea of like, I know we get the whole Rangers, this is not the first nor the last time we get the Rangers trolloping through time, but...
That word means something very different in England.
I mispronounced the word I was intending, so a convenient slip. Anyway, my point is that, like, we've also had much better Ranger versus Ranger fights in Power Rangers. This is... It basically... felt like, oh, we have three more episodes to write. What do we do? Let's throw some random things on the board and see what sticks. Ooh, time travel. Ooh, two Tommies. Ooh, giant rat monsters. And they weren't even good rat monsters.
And Ben, I know
think those were supposed to be from the movie.
Right? Yep. They were supposed to be the main, like, henchmen in the movie, and
they were actually supposed to be the first monsters that they're supposed to be the first monsters they're supposed to fight before they went with Ivan Ooze's Ooze Men.
Yep.
So, Ben, I know you had thoughts on the two Tommies. I'm just gonna sit back.
No, there's not much to say here. I agree with Sasha that it was kind of boring.
Well, I wasn't talking about, like, them fighting in general, but, like, the two Tommies in general, like, especially, like, in the end where the Green Ranger Tommy stayed behind and...
Well, first of all, that's just nonsense. Like, Time Force is going to stab someone. Like, Jen Scott is going to come back, and she's going to set Angel Grove on fire. My problem with... I've often gone on record, like... It's a bit of a joke that we play up that I hate Tommy. And it's not so much that I hate, again, it's to paraphrase Charles Montgomery Punk and the Pepsi Man. It's not the idea that I hate Tommy, it's the idea that he's the best, right? But he was definitely the focal point of the early seasons of Power Rangers. And to
And the idea of Tommy versus Tommy is actually quite a good one. But they throw it away in a really badly done three-parter, right? If they'd spent some time building up to it and actually put some effort into it, it could have been really, really good. Instead, we got a throwaway three-parter, and that's disappointing.
What's funnier is that, like, looking at this also in retrospect, you realize that there are also better Tommy versus Tommy fights too.
Yeah,
and we'll get to those.
We don't want to go into it too much, but like the Tommy versus Tommy versus Tommy versus Tommy fight from Dino Thunder, right?
Yeah. So and we'll get those. And actually, yeah. It's good that we're talking about this one now, because when we do get to that, then we'll actually be able to do comparisons, yeah, and stuff like that, which is actually going to be nice.
But to go back to the whole, like, oh, they did like 30 or 40 spin kicks, right? That's just part of, like, that was Tommy's move, right? Like, everyone, yeah, had like the one move. Like, Kim had the handspring kick that she did, and Billy had like a cartwheel, and they tried to fit them into like most fights those people had. And Tommy's was a spin kick. Was like the jumping spin kick, and it was just how it just, and I don't know, maybe I again, my come on brain, my context is very different, because again, I didn't watch it as a child. I'm watching it for the first time as a 40 something year old man. And it's just the idea of a second Tommy is a good one. It's just completely wasted here. They could have done so much better with it. Like if you, and that's kind of the story of season two of Mighty Morphing.
Yep.
Like this three parter. And I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here, but this literally just come to me. This three-parter is an absolute microcosm of everything that is right and everything that is wrong with season two of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Right? Everything that's wrong with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers season two, like weird writing, bad planning, having to fit in the movie, not spending enough time to build things up properly, not forward planning, not thinking about things. Then all the good things about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Adam Park. And that's it. Maybe Vulcan Skull.
Oh, and by the way, Ben, I'm so glad that you brought up Adam. I need to ask you three very serious questions.
Yes, okay.
In part one, when did Adam appear in that episode?
20 seconds was our first appearance of Adam Park, the greatest Power Ranger of all time, with his tongue in his cheek.
So very acceptable?
Very acceptable, yes. Okay. Yes.
And what about part two?
10 seconds, even more acceptable.
And what about part three?
8 minutes and 28 seconds, not acceptable at all.
Okay. So there you go. We had our Adam Park talk, and Ben, I'm still sorry that you did not get the Adam Park trilogy of episodes.
It's fine.
You didn't get the Adam Park hat trick.
Again, as I said, I'm going to have to come up with another meme for next season. So,
right. So with that, those are the questions that I had for the group. Is there anything that I missed? Anything that you guys had that you noted down that wanted to be talked about? As the awkward silence goes across the crowd.
Give me a second.
That was weird on my end while Brian's looking, is nobody sees the new Rangers teleport in, and they sort of just wander into town, and the automatic reaction is, oh my god, it's witchcraft.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, there's a port! Like, sure, they're dressed kind of funny, but like, there's a point in this, when is it? The Rangers goes west. Kimberly shows up in a tube top and shorts and nobody bats an eye. But here, it's witchcraft.
Yeah. Well, West Rangers. That was an episode I reviewed. That was committed to film.
One thing I did kind of jot down here was literally the beginning of the episode. I thought this might be a good topic here. So Miss Appleby assigns the class with a report. She says, which period in time would you want to live in? And I guess, I don't know if that report's due in 3 days, but it just so happens that this is issued at the beginning of a 3-day weekend. So first of all, not cool, but also,
nobody wants to do homework on a 3-day weekend. What the hell?
Also, yeah. He's a terrible teacher.
But, Angel Grove is full of terrible people. Fact.
But I did list what they all wanted to get. And I guess the question is, what do you think about these the Rangers options? And then where would you go? So it says here, Rocky wants to be in Viking times. Tommy wants to be in King Arthur times. And Kim wants to go back in time a year to when she missed a sale at the mall due to being sick. You get it? Because she's a girl? So, and then Adam says he wants to go to the Renaissance period because it was romantic. Thoughts?
Ben has his hands up.
Yes.
I would like to point out to all of our listeners that King Arthur times didn't actually exist. King Arthur is a fictional character.
I'm the historian. I'm gonna tackle this. Appreciate the fact that Billy wants to hang out with Albert Einstein, but part of me is like, in the 1930s, you want to hang out in Vienna with Albert Einstein?
He probably wants to hang out with him in the 1940s when they're doing the Manhattan Project, right?
In the 1930s with Albert Einstein.
Yeah, that he actually did say 1930s in
the
episode.
Yeah,
and and then to go to your other question, Brian, is I'm Jewish and I'm a girl. There's very few places in time I can go back to.
Yeah.
But if I were to pick, I actually have two that I would really want to do. The first is I would like to sneak into the court of Catherine the Great, you know, as long as nobody looks at my face and, you know, points and says, oh, look, there's a Jew. If I get in, I'll be fine. But in terms of where I would want to go is I would actually like to go to Timely Comics headquarters and talk to Jack Kirby. So that is what I would want to do.
Oh, excellent answer.
I actually liked some of the things. And if you notice, like when Adam talked about like the Renaissance period, cause it was romantic, go figure. He gets sent back to the 1700s and he becomes smitten with the woman, Marissa, who helps the Rangers. Yeah. And he doesn't want to
never forget. And she's never mentioned again.
Exactly. And it's like, so it's kind of funny how they kind of dropped that little nugget right there before they were sent back in time. Not necessarily to the Renaissance period, but you know, but the romance side of things. But, for me, I would agree with Rocky, like in regards to the Vikings, because I always thought that like that, like I'm always into that type of stuff. Like for Vikings, you guys know I'm a huge Spartacus fan. Mm-hmm. That would be really cool to maybe go back in time for that. Everyone knows I go to the Ren Fair, so that would be a default one for me as well. So it's like, I'm kind of into those type of things. So like that would be the type of stuff I probably want to go to.
Okay.
Ben?
I absolutely hated what they had for Kim.
I think everyone hated what they had for Kim.
However, given Kim's character, outside of maybe... like revolutionary France where she could be an actual princess. I don't see her fitting in anywhere else in time, really.
Well, didn't she also say like after the whole shopping thing, didn't she also say like maybe the 80s?
No, I think that was me last time we recorded. But as for me, if I had the opportunity to time travel, I don't think I would. Because I've watched far too many time travel movies where someone goes back in time and screws something up, and that would be me. Like, I'd be the guy that steps on the twig that causes the tree to fall, that falls over there, and then this goes over there, and then blah, 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 and there's like this Rube Goldberg machine through time and space to now where the universe is wiped out, right? Like, also,
you go.
Where would you go, Brian?
I'm kind of the same mind as you, just because I've seen the butterfly effect, and
I haven't seen the movie in forever. That is such.
And I've also seen that Simpsons Treehouse of Terror episode where Homer does something with the toaster, goes back in time, and he kills a dinosaur. And all of a sudden, donuts are raining. I think I would maybe go to the turn of the 20th century. I would go to, like, you know, like 1901 or something, and kind of bum around, I don't know, France and, you know, Europe in general. Go back.
1920s? Get to hang out with, like, all the artists and all the writers.
Yeah. Hang out with, like, Hemingway or something.
Like, if I could get a pass to go without...
without wrecking the time stream in future.
Without causing, like, paradoxes or whatever. Let's see. There is one date in mind that I have.
Before you say that, I do have a nerdy answer to that.
Yeah, me too.
I would go back in time when Action Comics number 1 came out, and I would pick up like 10 of them, and I would put them in a bag and board and just bring it back and be like, hey, look, they're in mint condition.
Mint condition.
I'd also probably pick up an Amazing Comics, Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Mm-hmm. Ben, what's your answer?
I would go back to the 24th of November, 1983. And I would be in the crowd for Ric Flair versus Harley Race in a cage.
Nice.
Where Ric Flair wins his first world title.
That's awesome.
So we have Ben, or not Ben, we have Brian setting up a possibility of Jean-Claude Van Damme coming after him. If anyone's ever seen the movie Time Cop.
Time Cop, yep.
But remember, I would like hasten to point out, I am English, and therefore I am a Time Lord. That is
true.
All English people are Time Lords.
But in Brian's case, Jean-Claude Van Damme would be coming after him for breaking the timelines.
Gotta get my Supermans on, man.
David Tennant isn't English.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not. He's Scottish. Yeah,
he is. He's Scottish.
I did. No. You misunderstand. Not only English people can be Time Lords, but all English people are Time Lords. In the same way that not all squares are rectangles, but all rectangles are squares.
Yeah, we'll pretend.
Okay.
Being the actual English person here, you don't get an opinion on this.
Well, I come from a long land of people with sorcerer powers, so I guess I don't really have
exactly
superpowers.
And I'm just happy to be here.
What's interesting in this episode, though, is in one way or another, we get everybody's exchanges except for one.
Aisha.
Ooh. She never says where she would go back to.
You probably did not want to open that can of worms.
Yeah, no.
Probably, but it still feels a little bit unfair to her character.
Well, they had hard enough time coming up with a place to send Kim, let alone another
and
girl.
And Rocky.
Let alone another girl. Like, oh my God, we had to deal with two people with different chromosomes? What are we going to do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Aisha would just join her shopping, probably. I don't know.
Well, she did seem pretty excited at the prospect of going shopping with Cam. That seems to be what... Because, like, you know, girls only ever go shopping and like talk about boys.
Well, we've only really had one Aisha kind of centric story at that point, which is the fire marshal story.
No, well, I mean, technically it was the best friend one where her best friend came in, but that became more of a Kim episode than an Aisha episode.
Right, but like the actual fire where there's smoke, there's fire is an actual Aisha-centric episode. And like, I'm not defending the writing here, don't get me wrong. But I really don't think they fleshed out Aisha's character at all, because in the episode, she's also like, oh my God, I hate rats. And then like the very next season, she's like, I'm going to be a vet. Like,
yeah.
Actually, speaking of the Rangers and being back in time, sort of half a segue, why don't they go to the command center or like ever try to reach Zordon at all?
So that's a great question, and it's something that Ben and I touched base on in Wild West Rangers, because the command center is there. I don't know.
Yep.
And especially
the power of plot inconvenience.
Maybe Angel Grove was on the East Coast and we just never knew about it.
What? That's okay.
And then it just moved. And then it just moved to the West Coast randomly.
Like,
oh good, teleported. It's a mobile city.
Yeah. Zordon just teleported Angel Grove from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Oh, well, pack your bags, we're moving. Ay, ay, ay.
I don't know, like, I think that was the thing that bugged me, outside of the whole Wizard of Deception thing, not being deceptive. This was the thing that bugged me most about the entire episode. Because I'd reviewed Wild West Rangers, right? And I was just sitting there going, but... And... just teleport! Like, I can understand the communicator's not working, right? Because they might, like, tie into satellites or whatever, right? In which case, you wonder why someone hasn't just tracked the signal back to the command center. But... Like, just teleport! Press the button.
Let me ask you this. At that point, because this is a point back in time, would they be, even though they have the power coins, would they be seen as intruders at that point? Or at the very least, like, would there be, like, how would that interaction go? They show up at the...
The thing is, though, I don't even think they even have their morphers on them when they get transported to the 1700s. Because that's the thing. Because I think they went to go reach for the morphers to morph when they saw the rats. And they were like, oh, where's my morpher?
So that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah. So, exactly. they don't even have the morphers on them.
But time travel headache.
Having watched some other episodes for the show, I know for a fact that if teleportation isn't working, they can walk. Now, granted, they probably don't have nearly as enough landmarks, but like, I'm fairly certain that like Vasquez Rocks is still around in the 1700s. So, you know, we're Kirk fought the Gorn. So I feel like they could find Vasquez Rocks and be like, oh, the command center's here.
It's not like Billy couldn't have built a compass out of like duct tape or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Ye old duct tape.
So
right, but then like he'd have discovered magnets and everyone would have definitely called him a witch. Like,
I think compasses were in use.
I'd like to put it now. I did that and Sasha just like
Welcome to Voices from the Grid, where somebody's going to end up having an aneurysm at some point.
Oh no, okay, y'all, I legit was like Googling historical facts as I was watching this episode, because I was like, this ain't right. And I actually discovered something interesting. The witch trials only happened in like two places.
Yep.
like two in 2.1 places. Like there's like a couple of towns in Connecticut, and then everything else was in Salem, and I think one case in Boston.
Yeah.
But
the witch trials did not leave Massachusetts. Like
they really didn't. There was like I think like one case that like it was really weird in Connecticut, but like no one cares about Connecticut. It's like barely a state. I'm from New England. It's our national pastime to make fun of Connecticut. So it was just like you really didn't need to add the witchcraft element, the weird, very historically inaccurately built house. Like it was goes to what Brian said. Like it was very obviously like a historical reenactment town in Australia and not like colonial Williamsburg, you know.
I just think it I don't know, like
if I was sorry.
No, go ahead, dude.
If I remember correctly, the only reason this even happened in the first place was because I think they were shooting the movie and they went over schedule. And so they were like, well, crap, we have to film some more episodes, but we're stuck in Australia. What can we do? And that's where they did this.
They threw plot points. They threw darts at plot points. That's what they did.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. It's like, if you're going to utilize the place that you're at, there's so many other cool things that you could have done. Like, why wasn't there a fight at like the Sydney Opera House or something? You know what I mean? Like, I can imagine it's probably because it costs loads to film in like downtown Sydney or something. But like, you could have done something like that. That would have been cool.
I will say I do have one point of a joke that I wrote down here. There's a point where I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Rocky or Adam, but somebody's like, "We're not witches. We're time travelers." And I just go, "Oh, that makes all the difference."
Not better. And like Billy's sitting there trying to explain to this Marissa like what happened, and she's like, what?
Pretty much.
So any other points before we do the wrap up?
I'm sure there's plenty.
Well, there's not much. I don't think there's any Sentai for this one.
No.
I hope not.
By the way, okay, one thing I wanted to talk about when we were talking about the costume for the Wizard of Deception. At the very beginning of the episode, Rita goes to talk to the Ghost of Darkness, right? Which, you take one look at the way that they built that thing, and they also take a look at, like, the wizard's costume, and it's like, wow, Saban was like, here's $100. Go to the Halloween shop and buy some junk.
I mean, I mean, if we waited until this past Halloween season, you could have used my employee discount when I was working at Spirit Halloween, you know?
Well, good.
Now you tell us.
Sorry, like, we just had to wait like 20 years for you to get the job.
Yeah, if only we were making a super popular kids TV show. That
yeah.
Oh wait, we're not.
I actually itemized some of the stuff that's in this thing. It's you have a fake plastic skull with light up eyes, some fake plastic candles with fake plastic spiders on them, and his head is sitting on what looks like a modified Castle Grayskull playset from He-Man. So I don't know. I was like, wow. Top notch quality. Like, it looked like, okay, straight up, it looked like something out of Big Bad Beetleborgs. More than it did Power Rangers, mm-hmm. to me. So.
Even the Zord battle was lame.
Yeah.
There were a couple of other things I wanted to mention, but I can't remember what.
Let me double check. Why they didn't fight the rats, or
yeah, like why didn't they just like this? They're five Power Rangers, right? And the reason they were picked to be Power Rangers is they weren't cowards or anything, and they can fight. Mm-hmm. Why are they just running away from two giant rats?
Well, mm-hmm. when I'm having a giant rat chasing me, I probably would run away too.
You're also not a Power Ranger, Mike.
This is also very true.
Like, compare, like, I can understand. understand them, like, if this was like a scary monster being like, oh man, we don't have our powers, what can we do, right, and running away.
Yeah,
but they're not even like, it's like they're not cool.
Because the rats showed up and they were like eye lasers and breathing green fire and like shooting rockets out of their butt.
To be honest,
like, okay, maybe melee combat isn't the answer, right? But you just pick up a big stick and hit them.
Or at least like grab Skull's cheese and just like throw it at them.
And to be honest, I think in honesty, I see like they went to try to go morph. And as I mentioned before, they don't have the morphers. They don't have the powers. So maybe they kind of went in like, oh, we don't have our powers. And they kind of went into a panic because not only that, but at the same time, while these rat monsters show up, they're also being chased by...
That doesn't fit with what we know of the Power Rangers, which is when they lose their powers, they step up to the plate. I know we're not supposed to talk about future seasons, but that's why the Overdrive team gets such crap.
Yeah.
When Rangers lose their powers, they're supposed to still be Rangers.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like I can't explain why. I can give my theories.
But that's what I'm saying, but, is and it that's doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and that's the only thing I got on that.
And then Ben, you also wanted to talk about the Zord something Zord.
Is that how the note actually says Zord something something?
No. The actual note says also just remind me to discuss the summoning of the Dragon Zord. The endless summoning of the Dragon
Zord. Endless summoning of the Dragon Zord. The reason why I want to discuss this is it made me laugh so hard. Because when the evil Green Ranger is summoning the Dragon Zord before it gets pupils, which is a whole nother thing, he's playing that ditty on the Dragon Dagger, and he plays it like 8 times in 20 seconds, to the point where he's playing it the 8th time, and the show itself cuts him off to go to commercial.
All right, that's enough of that.
Oh, just like they're like, no more. No, we're done.
Clearly, his flute skills needed work.
It was like once, okay, get it, because we've not heard that in a while. Twice, all right, I get it. 3 times, 4, okay, you're pushing it a bit. 5, Jesus. 6, no. 7, when will it end? 8, that's enough.
Yep.
And just actually, right in the middle of the it's like commercial.
We'll be right back.
And actually, Brian, there is a reason for the pupils from the center.
Yeah, there is.
Because there's an actual explanation to it.
Yeah. I don't have that note handy in front of me just yet, but so, I do know.
I think it's when Borai, he was the Green Ranger in Sentai.
Yeah, Borai.
When he was evil, and it was a one-shot thing in the Sentai where when he first summoned the Dragon Zord, it had pupils, and it was never seen again in the Sentai. And it was like, I guess because it was never used in season one, it was like the one time they could use it to give it a little bit of a difference from the past Dragon Zord that we've seen, which is still the same freaking sword.
I just think it looks so dumb with pupils though.
Yeah, I think that's why they dropped it after the first episode of Geo-Rager, just because like, oh yeah, that doesn't look good. Let's not do that ever again.
Which only makes its inclusion here even weirder.
Yeah.
So
I have a bit about Rita and Zed in here.
Ooh.
So there's a scene where Rita and Zed are dancing, and Rita mentions under her breath about taking control, which Zed writes off, and then he says, "You know what we should do? Make a baby." And I thought this was hilarious because Rita is so turned off by this idea that she commissions Finster to make a new potion, which means that she literally went to Finster and made a go to horny prison potion.
Well, considering that they may have already had a child at this point, that's a whole nother kettle of fish.
And not only that, but like it's also But in a way, it kind of stays true in a way to who Rita is. Because in season one, one of the things that she did was she did kind of target children. She would kidnap kids. And that was also something in her Sentai counterpart, Bandora, where she always wanted to go after children. Like, that's who she always wanted to capture. So Rita being repulsed, pun intended, by the idea of having a kid is kind of on point with Rita as a character. And her not wanting to have kids.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But again, I point out that they probably have already had one.
Yeah.
Probably.
The timeline, we won't go into it because it's a future season, but the timeline suggests they've already had a child at this point.
Yeah.
Which may be why she's disgusted by them.
I mean... Is that a face a mother, only a mother could love?
Yes.
Anyway. But yeah, no, the prospect and the hinting at Rita and Zed having children to the point that she goes to Finster for, you know, some kind of form of birth control was interesting.
Yeah. I like Brian's way of putting it better, though.
Okay.
Horny jail. Yeah.
Sorry.
And I just the Rita and Zed relationship is a very complicated one that again isn't helped out by the future, but there is definitely an existing relationship there before everything kicks off, right? They have a history.
Yeah, I mean, especially like
she doesn't like him as much and why Goldar is more of a favorite of him and that kind of thing. But
and you kind of get that sense from the moment Lord Zed is introduced.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So
and I know this is a PG-13 podcast, but I wouldn't be me if I didn't ask I wonder what Lord Zed's dork looks like.
But it's got a metal tip, probably.
Enjoy that mental image.
You know what? That is a question I will happily live in ignorance. Like,
I'm just going to leave it at that. Like, I don't want an answer. I'm just going to leave that out there in the ether and let the fan art happen.
You're assuming you're gonna let the fan art happen. That's assuming it doesn't already exist somewhere.
Oh, it absolutely exists somewhere.
Exactly.
Does that mean that
no, Brian? Right? No, Brian. Just no. It's okay. No, Brian. It's okay.
I have questions.
No. It's okay, Brian. No.
Brian, we'll talk offline and explain.
You can't do this to me. When a mummy monster and a daddy monster.
Destroy a town together.
Brian, just keep playing with your hair. It's okay. Just keep playing with your hair.
I'm trying to let it dry.
So I think this is how we need to end the show now at this point. I think we're getting to the point where we're going into uncharted territory here. We need to wash our hands of this. So with that, Sasha, where can the people find you on social media?
Oh, I get to go first? Okay. You can find my lovely self over at geekgirl101.tumblr.com. I'm the only person in here who has a real Tumblr, so come talk to me. You can find me... Huh?
It's that thing What's that I have Tumblr? That only exists.
It's a I'll explain it later. You can find me on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the entire universe, Billy Kaplan. And of course, over on my website, domain pending, geekycaptainwrights.wordpress.com.
And Brian, where can the people find you on social media?
You can listen to plenty of other podcasts over at castwavestudios.com, friend of the studio. Check us out. Check out past episodes of Bully Going Nowhere and One Drunk Geek, which I host. I review craft beer. And you can also talk to me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek.
All right, Ben. Let's get warmed up.
So yes, it's been me, your boy, Ben Taylor, the man with the fractured foot that's really out of his brain on painkillers right now, hence that last question. You can find me on the Twitter machines at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me Words Am Hard. Okay, brain's re-engaged now. You can find my Power Rangers columns over at
txhchockey.com/bens-journey,
where I've been working through columns to like catalog my thoughts on the various Power Rangers seasons. Production on them has slowed down recently due to life. You can also find me doing the video game thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
And you can find this show on Twitter at
@VFTG_PR.
That's me. All right, Mike?
And then for me, you can find me on Twitter at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions, doing the Twitch thing at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And everything's on the website, txhthockey.com. And of course, for the show at /VFTG. And of course, also on the Twitter, all of our Twitter handles are actually in the bio. So if you don't remember one of ours, but you go to the VFTG_PR, you can click on one of our on our Twitter handles that way. So
also, you get to hear our hot takes about the current Power Rangers season about 3 weeks late.
So with that, Ben, take us out, my friend.
This has been an interesting ride this evening. I apologize for derailing us so completely at the end there. But as always, we will leave you with the words of the 16th president of these United States, Abraham Lincoln. Be excellent to each other. And party on, non-gender specific honorifics.
And until our next Morphinomal episode, be sure to grab your power coins and your power morpher.
May the power protect you.
Jen's gonna be mad!